Howdy, howdy, everyone. This is Welcome to My Point of View. I am the host, Douglas H. Malloy, a.k.a. Dougie Slap, live and in living color from Mount Shasta, California. It's a beautiful day here. It's cool. It's clear. The wind is about 5 miles per hour. A little chill in the air. But other than that, it's a good place to be here. The mountain is looking spectacular as usual. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that song. That song is Yad Along by Tough Lion. And I happen to really like that song. It's he to me is one of the best reggae artists right now. His music is great. Anyway, hopefully all goes well with everyone. I was thinking about 5 minutes ago. I wonder how everyone feels right now. Part of our life experience is how do we feel about who we are. And it's kind of like all we do is feel, sense, think, and envision within the context of mind, body, spirit, and soul who we are pretty much across the board. It's like, what consciousness does is decide for itself what it is, what it represents, what it corresponds to. And what happens is then we have experiences to correspond to let us know the relevance and the realness of what that is. I'm of the opinion that the experiences that we have lend themselves to a life that can be thought of in 8 ways. The first 4 ways are God, life, the Christ, serving others. The next 4 are oneness that heals wholeness into ascension. So you have the oneness of God, the healing of life, the wholeness of the Christ, and then you have the ascension of that which serves. One of the opportunities that we have is to choose whom we are going to serve. Now, Edgar Cayce, in his A Search for God, Volumes 1 and 2, one of the chapters, I believe it's the 4th chapter in Volume 1, asks the question, what is thy ideal? And in one sense, that's what we are personifying. That's what we are humanizing. And I realize that for the most part, people are not interested in human beingness because a lot of the stuff that we are involved with, meaning science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine, are specifically antithetical to God, life, human beingness according to its design, and the nature of the soul as the universe. Because if people are truly conscious of who they are as mind, body, and spirit, and soul as it corresponds to God, Creator, Father, and universe, they can't be controlled, they can't be fooled, they can't be confused, and so on. And so we have a lot going on the surface of this planet that is specifically designed to either denigrate or annihilate or disenfranchise or disengage the human ideal from itself and all else. One of the realizations that I have, and I've been working on this ever since I was 5 years old, is what is the death experience? Why does it take place? And I finally realized, dawned on me, I guess it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, that death is a lack of viable spirituality, which is the life of. And so one of the things that we were warned in 1850 with Madame Blavatsky and the New Dispensation is if you do not develop a viable spirituality that is relevant and real according to the human ideal as it's designed, there will be self-destruction. And it's that straightforward and it's that simple. And every single thing that has the death experience means that the viability of the spirituality was not conscious enough to self-sustain the ideal. So one of the opportunities that we get in the context of our life is to resolve the death experience by simply developing a spiritual practice that is not science, not religion, not education, not business, not politics, not law, not medicine. And it's a daunting thing. You figure of the 7 billion people that are on this planet, approximately 6 billion people are religious. in some way or another. Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, and the New Age. about 5 billion people practice or are involved with those four traditions specifically, which is interesting. And if an individual doesn't get in touch with what the spirituality is, the spirit is the life of. The spirit is that which brings to life a created ideal, which is simply a projected objectification according to a given state, which is the mind. The mind gives rise to the body. The spirit brings the body to life. The soul becomes conscious of itself as the body. That's how the process works. That's what we're involved with. That's what we are humanly. So it's a very interesting process. And it's daunting also. Behold, to the idea of mom and dad, culture, tradition, gender, and so on, oftentimes we're going to miss the point. One of the things that we don't realize is what extension and expansion is to the technique or process of inverse reversal. And because we don't take into consideration who we are according to the design, it means much is left out of the equation. Now, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing inappropriate with living life as the ego, as a body that ceases to exist at some point. Nothing inappropriate or incorrect with that. The opportunity always is can we allow ourselves to be more conscious of the nature of the self as it corresponds to all-encompassingness, infinity, divinity, deity, the creator and the father, will and consciousness, love and light, positive and negative energy existing as masculine and feminine on a personal level, male and female on a relational level, that feels, senses, thinks, and envisions within the context of ego body that's imaging the likeness of God, creator, God, universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, Yid, those are the names of the creator and that which brought us to life, living by faith, trust, patience, desire, intention, karma, and in my case, meditation, written and read books, vision boards. The idea is that can we come to a point in which we're living a life in which there's intuition, psychic ability, channeling, manifesting with the conscious mind, healing, teaching that ascends as a way to a delivery, healing, servant, or do we simply go about the process of doing business as usual within the context of the ego body that is basically clueless of the larger or bigger picture. One of the opportunities that we have is we can open the heart, we can enliven the body, we can fully activate the brain. Another is to live life according to path as purpose, enlightenment, God speaks. Another is knowing the self, serving others, collective ascension. Another is the self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating, instantaneous, spontaneous, simultaneous, truth, beauty, goodness, stillness, peace, harmony, and so on. One of the opportunities that we have within the context of our life is to live a life in which there is empowerment, there is feeling good, in which an individual feels good about who he or she is in the moment. I wrote a chapter in, I believe it's Running from Karma, Living Life Artistically, in which the title of the chapter is Process Resolution of Emotional Causation. And the idea is that when we're feeling negative about something or someone, can we move from that in 5 minutes or less? That's the technique. And it's taken me a long time to develop that. The other is do we ever get to a point in our life in which we move beyond lower levels of consciousness? When we look at the world today, let's take the situation that took place in Baltimore. Do we, in our personal life, come to a point in which we are not going to react negatively to mass consciousness? Because mass consciousness is specifically designed to hinder or prevent personal consciousness from developing into self-empowerment, path as purpose, and all that that entails. The good news is that there was going to come a point in time in which the protocol of negative service polarity ceases to exist on this planet, because the harvesting of souls is going to remove it. Now, I had a cool thing happen this week, actually. Well, I guess I could say Saturday. No, it was Sunday, so it was the beginning of this week. And that is one of the things that has happened for me here in my chest is, besides working at Baxter Auto Parts as a part-time job, I work 32 hours a week, I've been contracted by people who are paying me $15 an hour to do yard work. So I met this one lady, and she recommended me or referred me to a neighbor who lived across the street, who in turn referred me to a neighbor that lives next door. And a very interesting thing happened. The assumption I made when I was told by Dick and his wife, who I'm helping, I planted flowers for 6.5 hours, marigold and two different species of petunias. And it's fun. It's easy soil to work with, and it's fun to put flowers in. But the assumption that I made was that Dick and his wife are 84 and 87. They're both retired, and I assumed that the next-door neighbor was in she was elderly, but I come to find out when she walked up to me and introduced herself that she's 50 years old. And so I called Kathy, and Kathy is always good at sharing information with me. She sometimes will start by saying, "They want me to tell you," and then she shares information with me. Well, in this case, what was interesting to me about this particular conversation, which was, I think it was on Monday, it was sometime earlier than today. Anyway, she gave me some tidbits that came to her. One of the things that came to her was the color auburn. Another was the term bell, which I think she was spelling B-E-L-E. And so I picked up that it was a feminine thing, and we weren't sure what it pertained to. And I gave her some suggestions. I have a lady friend, Carol, who is a Southern Belle, and I thought it might pertain to Carol. I thought it was an interesting thing because when the lady came up to me, Bella is the name of her beagle, which is a female dog. And what was interesting was that while after Anne is the lady's name came down to where I was planting marigolds, yellow and gold ones, the dog got out, and the dog came down and literally came down and came right over to me. And the owner of the dog was curious how the dog got out of the house. Now, the interesting thing about the color of the dog is the dog has auburn fur. So I thought it was interesting. The other thing that Kathy mentioned is she says that there are things that you are going to be challenged with that you are going to have to overcome. And so there were two things that presented themselves to me that are a challenge in the sense of unfamiliarity on the one hand and outgrowing the other. One is she goes to a traditional Christian church challenge for me, and she has an autistic son. And that is also a challenge in the sense that I am unfamiliar with it, and so I don't know how to interact or engage with it. So it is interesting that details will present themselves. Another thing that she ended the conversation with was she says it could present itself, and this has to do with involvement with the right person at the right time for the right reason as far as a relationship. I've been a single man for just over 6 years, and I've made a fundamental shift about 6 months ago of what it is that I want as a companion. And I put it in the context not so much of soulmate or twin flame, but she who is me, she who is the inverse reversal of me, who is ideally suited to my life at times according to metaphysical, spiritual, philosophical, psychological, soulful, and so on. So it's a very interesting thing because you just go through life and things present themselves, and it's a work in progress. And I realize that, you know, one of the great realizations that I have had in the last probably year to 2 years is I finally have come to realize why my parents were emotionally indifferent and physically absent, emotionally absent, or socially indifferent to my life at times, because that has been my experience with humanity. People are basically personally, relationally, socially, globally, and universally indifferent to the nature of the self according to its design. It's the only thing I have an interest in. I could care less about anything else or anyone else. I am only interested in what is real and true as it is, as it corresponds, as it exists within the composition of the design. And to order to understand human beings according to its design, it is useful to understand sun, earth, moon, and universe according to mind, body, spirit, and soul, as will of light and consciousness that's infinite, eternal, complete, total, as is. And it's a very daunting thing. A person should be able to look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the earth, look at the universe, and know the nature of the mind as the sun, the nature of the body as the planet, the nature of the brain or head as the four phases of the moon, and know the nature of the soul as the universe. That's why they are observations every day. Another thing that's useful is understanding positive and negative energy, because both exist simultaneous. For every positive, there's an antithetical negative. For every negative, there's an antithetical positive, and they exist side by side in the moment. And this is something that we don't understand. This is something that we don't pay attention to. And I've gotten to a point to where it's fine. You know, whatever is fine with everything, with everyone. I finally have come to the realization that there's only oneness, perfection, completeness, content that contributes, comprehensiveness, union, connected integration, reintegration. It could also be thought of as presence, this realness, pattern, content, truth, I amness, allness, Godhood. These are just ways of understanding the nature of the self. Another opportunity that we have is to open the heart and liven the body, fully activate the brain. Another is to develop intuition, psychic ability, channeling, consciously manifesting with a conscious mind, healing, teaching, ascending as a way to deliver healing to servant. There's stillness, peace, harmony as the nature of design. There's truth, beauty, goodness. There's the self-sustaining, the self-regenerative, self-perpetuating. There's the instantaneous, spontaneous, simultaneous. One of the really interesting qualities of the life that we're involved with as far as who we are is simply when we're looking at issues that need to be resolved or let go of, there's also talents that can be developed so that one's path and purpose are involved with those as much as anything else, because a mistake that a lot of people make is there is an assumption that psychic abilities, intuition, channeling are things to charge money for, and that puts the person that does so charges a fee for a freely given gift by God. It puts them in the context of a spiritual prostitute, if you will. According to the Seth material, gifts of the Spirit are meant to be freely given to others. That's why Jesus was a carpenter. He never charged for any of the psychic abilities that he personified within the context of healing, teaching, and that type of thing, performing miracles. In the raw material, the page 87, 88, 89, and 90, it actually talks about how a person can develop the ability to perform miracles at the same level of Jesus. It is a daunting task because it requires an enormous amount of discipline. According to the raw material, the mind must be open like a door to make contact with, as they put it, infinite intelligence. It's infinite intelligence, or intelligent infinity is the term that they use. Thank you. And that's an opportunity that a person can do through discipline. The key, according to the raw material, is silence, which requires meditation. I was told back in 1984, when I was having my chakras read, that my seventh chakra was like four purple doors, and I would have to figure out how to open them. So I am working of seeking and finding, asking and receiving, knocking and opening, my mind like a door on the four purple doors to the all-encompassingness of God and intelligent infinity, so that I can perform miracles at the same level that Jesus did. What I'm actually doing, and I've been working on this now for quite some time, is I am simply saying to personify God as my mind, life as my body, the Christ as my head, and serving others within the context of that. It's like personifying Zoroaster, Buddha, and Jesus as a single human being. From a place of oneness that heals wholeness into ascension. Basically, it comes under the premise or principle of opening the heart and enlivening the body, fully activating the brain, or knowing the self, serving others, or collective ascension. Now, what humanity doesn't realize, what people don't realize, that there's, according to the precursor to the raw material, which is called The Secrets of the UFO, which was a book that was compiled by Don Elkins and Carla Rugert, is that only those who are polarized, positive and negative, are harvested. And the development that a person has is a person develops into a person who either serves him or herself or serves others as the positive path. And according to the raw material, self-service is 95% self, 5% others, which just happens to be the financial breakdown. 95% of the wealth is owned by approximately 5% of the population. Serving others is 51% others, 49% self. So a person has to be careful, because if you look at other people and their protocols, oftentimes it's denying the self entirely for the sake of an ideology that then becomes irrelevant. I said you don't deny who you are. You involve yourself 49% of the time with yourself and 51% of the time with others. And the usefulness of that is simply understanding that everything and everyone is an extension of who you are. I am you and you are me, and this is why we meet. I only recognize in others what I'm guilty of myself, or ways of understanding the process, so that the process can work within the context of my life, your life, and so on. So it becomes an interesting process. It also can be thought of as a daunting process. Within the composition of life as we're living it, there is connected integration. There is reintegration. I'm of the opinion that the only thing that consciousness is doing is simply becoming conscious of itself as what exists, as it corresponds to God, as a state of all-encompassingness and universality, which is simply infinity, the universal soul from the perspective of the body, ego from the perspective of the planet. Well, you can figure it out. There's always a direct correspondence. There's always a direct correspondence between the perspective one's coming from as a specific state, a relational state, a social state, a global state, a universal state, all emanating or originating out of God. And God is simply a term that is meant to unify, but we use it as a medium to war again. So that's in one way what we are up against. The question I have is what does it take to feel positive most of the time? And emotions are like the weather. You're going to have good emotions, and you're going to have positive emotions, and then you're going to come into something negative. And that's where the personal work comes in. The other is it's good to get involved in discipline that develops one's point of reference beyond something marginal, exclusionary, and isolationist. That's also useful. You know, we're here to have fun. We're here to feel good. We're here to enjoy ourselves. And the simple delights gives the blessing to the human. That comes from the Council of Laet, and I find that to be very true. Anyway, I am your host, Dougie Slapp. Thank you all. you have a great day, and know that it exists right here as you.